Opting out of your employer's pension plan could mean you're leaving money on the table. Yet some individuals struggle with the idea of having their money locked up. Nest is a UK-based workplace pension plan that wants to change that. Nest announced it's starting a new test where a pot of money will be split into pension contributions and an emergency fund that can be withdrawn at any time. Nest's executive director, Will Sandbrook, joins us now from London, England. Hello there.
Hi there, Bruce. How are you?
I love this idea and I hate this idea. I hate this idea because I don't want people to have access to their pension money ever. But I love this idea because I think it's forward thinking and we need different ways of thinking about how we get people to engage with pensions, in particular workplace pensions. How does this new pension model that you're trying out work?
So, I mean, I would say it, you know, in lots of ways, I love it for the same reasons you do and worry about it for the same reasons you do. So the plan we're going to trial through the Nest Insight trial in the UK is essentially to ask some people, some volunteer employers, to contribute more over and above what they're currently doing to their pension. But that money would start out by going into an emergency savings account. And later, if it reached a certain balance, it would roll over to top up the pension. But there would always be that emergency buffer there available for people to draw on if they needed it.
And did you add this in reaction to one of the big hurdles for people, them saying, listen, I can't put money into the workplace pension because I feel like I wouldn't be able to get the money when I needed it? Was that the response? Was the pilot?
Not really. So actually, we've seen in the UK that very few people opt out when they're enrolled to a pension plan, and very few of those cite affordability as a barrier. But what we do know is that lots of people in the Nest target market, which is lower and moderate income workers primarily, while they're now saving for their retirement for the first time, they're really not building up any kind of emergency savings alongside that. And because there's no access to retirement savings in the UK once you put that money away, which I agree with you is a good thing, we're interested in looking at whether we could use some of the same mechanisms like payroll deduction and savings through the workplace to help people start to build up some resilience against those short-term challenges as well.
Is the UK an opt-in culture or an opt-out culture? Because here in Canada, we don't have the Save More Tomorrow program in critical mass in any way. People really do have to attend the seminar and actually sign up. But it sounds like the inverse might be true for you.
Yes, a few years back, our government introduced essentially a requirement on all employers to default their workers into a plan. And what we've seen is very low levels of people then choosing to come back out again, even though they can if they choose to. So around 9 million more people are now saving for their retirement than they were back in 2012 when the program started. So we've become a system that very much leans on those defaults and puts people in and asks them to come out. It's still very early days in that program and contribution levels are still low, and we're interested, like you, in things like Save More Tomorrow. But the kind of base level of behaviour of people saving for their retirement, you know, we seem to have made some good progress in tackling that.
What are some of the constraints on the withdrawal? So can they do it anytime they want, any amount they want, or is it limited to a specific number of times a year? What are the constraints?
Yeah, so money that goes into a pension plan in the UK, you can't withdraw at all. And so that's why we're interested in trialing this kind of sidecar plan alongside. It is very much a trial. It's something the Nest Insight Unit, which is our kind of research and development unit at Nest, is looking at. And we're currently thinking about some of those questions, like what constraints would you put on the account? Our current feeling is that you would put none on the account, actually, and simply let people spend that money kind of in whatever way and at whatever time they would need to. We think that you can do a lot by simply describing the account as an emergency account. When we speak to savers, they're attracted by that idea. But ultimately, we don't want to put people in a position of financial difficulty by adding constraints on how they can access that money. We think that the first trial of this at least should simply let people take that money when they need to.
How big an emergency fund will you be helping people build? There's so much discussion about, you know, should an emergency fund be 3 months of take-home pay? Should it be six? Should it be 12? How do you think about what the size should be?
So right now, what we're looking at is testing something that's really intended to deal with those kind of, as it were, small dollar emergencies. So out-of-pocket costs of maybe £300 or £400, you know, a boiler breaks down or a car breaks down. So what we're looking at is probably setting the emergency savings balance at up to £1,000. and then having excess contributions over and above that roll over directly into the kind of core pension fund. I think we have the same debate here about what kind of emergencies might people face, and is it 3 months or 6 months? I think, in my view at least, there's slightly different challenges. I think 3 months or 6 months buffers are primarily about emergencies like losing your job or becoming sick and unable to work. And those are really important challenges, but not the ones we're trying to solve. Through this account, this is much more about those. I can't find £500 to fix my boiler without perhaps having to resort to high cost debt or other things that could cause longer term financial hardship.
One of the things that, a market like Canada would need to consider, given that most of those workplace pension plans are run by for-profit companies that make money based on the assets under management, is does the amount in the emergency fund represent a profit hit because they can't make money off that because it's just going to have to sit in cash? How do you think through sort of the business model of new ideas like this? Now, admittedly, £1,500 or $1,000 is not that big of a deal, but I think for some established players, they'd think, I don't know, why would I? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, I mean, I think I understand that. I think, a big thing to say about this is we very much view this as being about having people save more in total than they are currently saving. I think there's lots of reasons to worry, both for commercial reasons and kind of member outcome reasons, if this becomes something that takes away money that people would otherwise have saved in a traditional pension.
Right.
But I think we're very much looking at it as, is this a way that helps people to become more comfortable putting more away in the first place, knowing that at least some of that will be available to them in emergency? So some of the answer to the question may lie there. But I also think, we're trying this to see if people want it and if it works. And then to some extent, we can throw that open to the industry and say, well, there seems to be demand for this. How can we find ways of operationalizing it that will actually work for you as industry and also work for the saver?
Just before we go here, there's a trial underway in Canada where student loan payments qualify for a match at some company pension plans, which I think is a really unique way to do it. Are there any other ideas that you've uncovered in your insights work that maybe you don't have a pilot for, but that would help us expand our thinking in terms of how traditional pensions operate?
So there's a lot of things we would be interested in looking further at, and this is just one of them. So through the Nest Insight Unit, we're interested, for example, in some of those ideas that you've seen in the kind of fintech community around automatic roll-ups of expenditures that you make, topping up into a savings account. So you spend $5.50 and actually it charges you $6.50 goes to a savings account. So we're kind of interested in those two mechanisms of helping people get more into their retirement plans or into other forms of saving. I'm really interested in the student loan thing. I've wondered sometimes whether there might be ways of encouraging individuals when they reach the end of their student loan repayment schedule to simply turn the repayment contributions they've been making into contributions to something else, because it fits that kind of challenge of, how do you find ways of getting people to save money so they don't miss the money?
Yeah.
So you've been paying those loan contributions. Could you just keep paying them and pay them something that's more like a kind of savings product? And there's some other things that people have tried. I mean, I'm interested in this idea of lottery-based savings. Is that a way of getting people to save a bit more? They're all things that we've spoken to academics and other researchers about whether there might be ways to trial, but just the sidecar trial is a big challenge for us at the moment.
Well, let us know how this goes. Will, we appreciate your time.
No, it's been my pleasure talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Will Sandbrook is the executive director of Nest. He joined us from London, England today.